This is Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. You can write to us, Taylor at CIUT.fm, and check us on the web, Taylor-Report.com. And boy, we're very glad now that we have as a guest Ted Schmidt, who has written a number of books. He's a famous educator in our city, known also for his activism, particularly for peace and his interest in the Middle East. How are you doing, Ted?
Very good, Phil. Nice to be here.
Now, you have just returned, and we've discussed and been waiting to hear. You've been to both Israel and Palestine occupied territories,
yes.
Right? So, fill us in.
The third leg of my what I call my heartbreak tour. This is the first 2 weeks in November. I returned to a country that that I love and I want to see thrive. First time I went in 1990, I was told by my friend Mary Jo Leddy, well-known Catholic activist here, that your heart will be broken. Mm. Because, as you know, Phil, I've written a book about my growing up in the Jewish community.
Yes.
It felt,
that has one of the great titles. By the way, you have a gift for titles. It's a Shabbos Goy, but the subtitle,
yeah.
I'm looking for it, but it's a subtitle.
It's a Catholic boyhood in a Protestant city.
Yeah, on a Jewish street.
On a Jewish street in a Protestant city,
Catholic
yeah.
boyhood on a Jewish street in a Protestant city.
That's right.
Welcome to Toronto.
Toronto was like Belfast when I was growing up. So my heartbreak tour, this was the third time that I was there. And I took along with me my salutation from the B'nai B'rith, mm-hmm. who planted a tree in my honor mm-hmm. for the work that I have done for the Jewish community mm-hmm. as a prime Holocaust educator in Toronto. So I go as a friend. I mean, mm-hmm. I want Israel to thrive. But as we know, Israel is self-destructing at a very, very rapid pace. Mm-hmm. And I think the last war, if you want to call that, in Gaza, was the final straw for liberal Zionists.
It is a shock, isn't it?
And
it's attached to the name Netanyahu. And you, on your website, this is the Theology
in the Vineyard.
In the Vineyard.
Yeah.
.com. Please go to that site. It begins with an essay about Amos Oz, in which you pick up that theme in discussing him and his take on the fall of the problems of Zionism.
Oh, it'd be Amos Oz?
Amos Oz, wrong guy.
Yeah, maybe one of the men I met over there.
Amos Oz is not he's one of the good guys. Now I'm missing his name. The 91-year-old leader of the peace movement.
Oh, you mean Yuri Avneri?
That's what I get for relying on my memory. Yes, Yuri Avneri.
Avneri is an extraordinary member of Israel. He was fought in the War of 48. He's 90. One, he sat in the Knesset, and his last essay that he sends out once a week, he just pilloried Netanyahu, who is just certainly one of the worst leaders that mm-hmm. Israel has ever had, and they've had some terrible ones. But so I went, and I went all through there. I met with very hopeful Israelis and very hopeful nonviolent Palestinians. And one of the great places that I visited was Nazareth. And I think it's a fascinating story there. A lot of people might not know the Canadian connection to Nazareth, but in 1945, in July, there was a very famous Canadian there named Ben Dunkelman. He mm-hmm. was part of the Israeli Defense Force. And July 17th, 1948, as Israel was moving there to depopulate, to mm-hmm. get rid of the 750,000 people, Dunkelman, a 35-year-old Canadian, Toronto, mm-hmm. He just refused orders to get rid of the Palestinian people. Mm-hmm. He said, no, we've signed something here that said that these people are harmless, they're good people.
And residents.
Residents, and they know that if they leave, they ain't coming back mm-hmm. because word was out that anybody that left wasn't coming back. So he refused the order to expel the residents. And
well, that's a great story.
Yeah, it's a terrific story, not well known. And they went crazy. What happened was they got to the highest level of Ben Gurion, and he said, well, you know, okay, we can let these people stay. So in 1953, our friend Dunkelman was fired from his post there for refusing that order, but he was backed up in 1953. Ben Gurion came and he couldn't believe the number of Palestinians were there, because the Galilee, what they want to do there is re-Judaize the whole area. These people are citizens of Israel. It's not in the West Bank. Yeah. And it's fascinating because it's around the time of Christmas hair and the whole idea of Jesus of Nazareth.
Rather important subject in some quarters.
So we were there, and we met interesting people and heard incredible stories. He, at that time, our listeners may know this if they know any history, there was the murder of the United Nations representative there, Count Bernadotte.
Is that where it happened?
That's right. And it didn't happen there, but it happened in Jerusalem. And he was murdered and by Shamir and the Lehi. They were part of a terrorist group. Israel was great in promoting terrorism at that time. And poor Ben-Gurion, he didn't know what to do. How are we going to get rid of – because the world went crazy. Because this guy was an official of the United Nations, and he was murdered right on the street.
Yeah.
And so the people went crazy. So what could Ben-Gurion do? Israel was under the gun, and he said, well, we can't get rid of these people. I mean, it looks rather strange, particularly we're living in a Christian world at that time, and we're expelling people from Nazareth.
Uh-huh.
So it didn't look good. So here we go. We're in the year 2014 now. And there's two parts of Nazareth. There's Upper Nazareth, which they call Elite, which is mean Upper Nazareth. That's where the Jewish community is. And they live on very nice grounds. But Lower Nazareth, where Jesus came from, is very, very crowded. But they're all citizens of Israel, so those people that could afford it, they moved to Upper Nazareth. Mm-hmm. And they now comprise 20% of the people. Mm-hmm. And they're demanding schools that they can be taught in Arabic, etc. So these are citizens of Israel. So this story, I don't think I've ever seen it in Canadian papers. They had this amazing mayor, Shimon Gapso. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Gapso, he is right out of a page of Selma, Alabama, and you could take the name Jim Clark when, you know, segregation now, segregation forever.
Yes.
He wanted to get rid of all of these people. He doesn't want any school.
Did you actually, by the way, did you see him yourself?
No, I didn't see him. Yeah, but the story came out about Brother Gapso. He's just an extraordinary man who really said, we are not interested in giving any services to these people. And it's actually better that they leave. It's a hostile city, he says. Hostile. Why? Because Palestinians want to live there. He says, it was in my hands, I would evacuate this city from the residents.
Mm-hmm.
So all over Israel, people began to write about this. So he, Haaretz, the great newspaper there, give him a column, and he proceeds to hang himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is some of the stuff that he says, you know, if you think I'm a racist, mm-hmm. then Israel is a racist state. Upper Nazareth is a Jewish city.
Mm-hmm.
He says that right out. And it's important that it remains so. If that makes me a racist, then I'm a proud offshoot of a glorious dynasty of racists.
This is a...
Well, this is extraordinary. Yes. Because Israel, you have some open dialogue. And many people write, and they say, well, at least he's honest. And he does represent what this country is.
Mm.
It's a very, very racist
that
country.
That phrase gets used. I recall during America's most, you know, apartheid time, people would say, well, at least the guys in the South just say it right out.
They say it right
whereas
out.
Whereas other people, but at the end of the day, it's of course,
so
awful and ugly.
That's Shimon Gapso. So people have a field day. Has anybody in Toronto, in the newspapers here, read about this stuff and bring it home about the racist nature?
Not that I'm aware of.
You know, this, to me, this is very, very painful, and we see
it also leads to policy errors, right? I mean, if the people don't have the facts to make decisions,
yes,
or to tell their lawmakers to make decisions, they're not going to be able to contribute.
Yeah.
So they're sealed off.
Well, you know, it's here's Nazareth. It's got biblical overtones to it. That's why we went there. Went to the cathedral there. It's a largely Christian city. There's a lot of Muslims there. One of the things, we went into the Israeli Tourist Bureau and we asked for a map, and they give you a map, and on the map you only see Judea and Samaria. You don't see the West Bank. Mm-hmm. So one of my friends asked for it, and the lady went out and shut the door, closed the office down. She's afraid. She's terrified of these Palestinians. Well, I mean, this is so outrageous.
Shut the door because you wanted a map that indicated where the occupied territory.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So here, you know, you have Palestinian people.
Well, we're talking about pathology at this point.
Yeah, it really is. So this got very, very big news in Israel. I never heard about it here.
By the way, is he talking more this way because of this new, and maybe you could enlighten us on it, the Netanyahu proposal to change the language of defining language of the country?
Yes, that's a major issue now.
Which is going to deprive people of their right to the language and equal citizenship.
Equal citizship. It says in 1948, when Israel became a state, the Declaration of Independence, everybody will have equal rights. Now they're trying to turn it into a Jewish state. Mm-hmm. And so you don't get rights because you're a citizen.
Yeah, by the way, I think the ordinary listener would say, I thought it was a Jewish state. It's a confused picture as to what this state actually is or how it represents.
But they're always trying to say we are the only democracy in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Well, how can you be a democracy when you're denying the rights of 20% of your people? What you have here is not a democracy, from the Greek word demos, of the people. It's an ethnocracy, full rights to people who are Jewish. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people are getting very embarrassed about this, particularly people in the West.
By the way, it hasn't actually been enacted, but this must be changing the way people talk, and the mayor of Nazareth apparently is one of those who's taking this as the moment to begin to say these things, right?
Well,
idea of removing people.
The dialogue is everywhere. He's fired people, and, you know, people are just saying, this guy is insane. Mm-hmm. But so I think Nazareth was one of the most interesting places that I went. But one of the saddest things that you see there, and I've taken it upon myself to act on this, are Christian groups, because nobody's coming to Israel as tourists, you know, because of, you know, they're frightened because of Gaza, the war, you know, and then this Palestinian who went crazy with the meat cleaver. You know, it doesn't happen often, but people are driven to fury. And so you meet these Christian groups, and these people are just shocking to us, because you ask them, well, have you ever talked to any Palestinians? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. And I call these tours the Disney World Nostalgia Tour.
Yes, you know, I like that. Another good title.
Yeah, you have the so-called Christians who come to the Holy Land, and they go absolutely ballistic. They just love trying to find a stone or a cave that Jesus might have passed by. Mm. No, you can't know that. Yeah. We know he was born in Nazareth, not really Bethlehem, but that's another story. Mm-hmm. And they fall in love with these antiquities. But they forget the point, and this is brought home to us by Palestinian theologians, that Jesus was a Palestinian Jew who lived under occupation.
Mm-hmm.
Can they make the link now that there is another people
living
under occupation now? And so this is modern-day Israel, but it hasn't changed since the time of Jesus. There's still people living under occupation.
By the way, people here in the West also do not seem to appreciate how many of those Palestinians are Christians.
That's right.
And then we'll walk right past them, their fellow Christians,
yes,
and not take any interest in their status at all.
Well, we met this amazing woman in Nazareth called Violette Khoury. The Khoury's Khoury, is a well-respected Palestinian name. The woman was a pharmacist, and she studied under the smartest man ever in the history of Israel, a man called Yeshayahu Leibowitz. six doctorates. A very serious Orthodox Jew, but he was a chemistry teacher. She taught, he taught her, she's a Christian, at Hebrew University. They really respected each other. He died a number of years ago. The biggest award in Israel is the Israel Award. They had to give it to this guy, although he's been a trenchant critic of Zionism. So she talked, she says, I talk to people here who come on tours, and they say, oh, when did you become a Christian? You know, were you a Muslim before? She says, they don't know that my ancestors played with Jesus.
Yeah.
They've been in this country for that long. They are the descendants of the disciples of Jesus. They've been here.
Yes.
So she was very funny and a lovely, lovely woman. And so she runs a little group called Sabil, which is a Palestinian liberation Christian theology group, totally nonviolent, just beautiful. But they're not surrendering. And this is what I discovered all through the West Bank and through Israel. Palestinians have this expression called sumud. It's much like the South African women had, remember, in the years of apartheid, when they said to the racist apartheid regime, you have struck a rock, the women. We are not going to be defeated. And that's really, we met the most beautiful people that said they're trying to kick us out of this country. They're doing it in slow motion. It's a slow motion genocide. Mm-hmm. They're making it so difficult for us to live here, but we are not leaving. You can do what you want, and sometime in the near future, the world is going to wake up to what you're doing. So I say to my Jewish friends, on this book I'm writing on Zionism, another one of my crazy titles, called I Was a Catholic Zionist, but Now I'm a Groucho Marxist. Because Groucho's line was, who do you believe, me or your eyes? I say to my friends in Toronto, Jews or non-Jews, have you been? Have you seen? And Amira Haas, the great Jewish writer whose mother survived Bergen-Belsen, she says, she wrote a very powerful article, and in the article she says, why don't you see? These people are 15 minutes away from you. And they say to her, how can you live among Arabs? They're beautiful people. You know, they don't hate Israel. They don't like Zionism.
By the way, I'm really glad you were there, because you're bearing out something that I've been reading more and more, that people who visit find that they say they're comfortable in East Jerusalem.
Yes.
That there's something vibrant, something human there, that much more comfortable than the apartheid culture on the other side of the fence. Or not the other side of the fence, but just
across the way. One Jewish friend said to me years ago, when you cross the Allenby Bridge from Jordan into Israel, you move from the most hospitable people in the world, Palestinians, you know, to the hardest people. They're called Sabras, because, you know, they got that's a plant. It's like a cactus plant. You know, they're pretty brusque people. Even Jews here tell me the story. I'd never go back to that country. You know, that's true. And my friend who took me out for dinner, we went to an Arab village, you know, that wasn't depopulated, Abu Ghosh. He's a Jewish friend of mine who lives in Jerusalem, and they're just beautiful people. But there's the suffering is just so awful.
But you get the impression. I mean, if you read the headlines, there is a kind of a growing sense that something's got to give here. We're seeing, for example, the parliaments of Europe passing non-binding, I guess you call them, votes saying recognize Palestine.
And I think there might have been something in the UN today.
It was due today. You're right. They were thinking of putting that motion. My guess is it went through, of course.
Well, it's coming. There's no doubt about it, because people see the contradictions. There's so many church tours that have gone over, you know, to find out what's really going on. Like I went, you know, just because I was a friend of Jewish people, still am. And then, as I said,
By the way, you were finding Jewish people who were hopeful, which is really quite striking, because we're almost, you know, a lot of people use the word hopeless to describe it, but you found Jews and Palestinians who still have some hope that maybe there will be a turn here.
Yes, they see, I think, with
the issue be resolved
with Gaza,
or at least get on the right path
with Gaza. You know, the key to the changing the whole thing is in diaspora, particularly in America, where the power is, and with the last you know, murder, mass murder in Gaza of shooting fish in a barrel. So many Jewish Zionists have broken, and they say this is not the Zionism that we signed up for. This is mass murder. Mm-hmm. And even in Toronto here, you have these incredible Jewish people called Independent Jewish Voices that are going wherever the Jewish National Fund is. Mm-hmm. This awful thing where you can give a check right here in Toronto to the Jewish National Fund, which only sells land mm-hmm. to Jews,
yeah.
not even Arab citizens.
Yeah.
And so how can you get a tax break in Canada? So people are fighting this with the IRS in Canada.
And what's the name of the organization again?
The Jewish National Fund. It was started
No,
by...
No, the organization is resisting.
The Independent Jewish Voices. Wherever a general comes to a synagogue, they stand up and they say 500...
No, they're very courageous because...
Well, this is it. They're wonderful people. They want the best, as I do, for the state of Israel. And they have a lot of guts. And every Friday... In front of the Israeli consulate at Avenue Road in Bloor, there's a very silent protest. People just stand there, and
isn't that something?
Yeah,
I can remember. You and I are old enough to remember when no one stood. There was literally no demonstrations. Certainly not on a consistent basis.
No,
when you have a burning issue. This is Ted Schmidt, by the way, who has a wonderful website, theologyinthevineyard.com. And I'll make sure I ask this. Here we are. It's approaching Christmas, and I saw a cartoon. And I don't know whether you might have produced it at your site or reproduced it, but I know you're aware of it. I shouldn't say cartoon. It's actually a painting or drawing of the three wise men trying to go to Bethlehem, but there's a wall.
That's on my Christmas card.
Is that your Christmas
card? Yeah. I sent it to you. And, yeah.
Well, that's where I saw it. And Ted gave that to me.
That's one of the Banksys, you know, the very famous muralist.
Did Banksy do that?
Yeah.
Ah.
Where you see the three wise men going to Bethlehem, the putative birthplace of Jesus, and now there's the wall there, which the wall is there.
And the Pope went there.
The Pope went there.
This must be a really important moment for you.
A lot of people told me what happened there. The Israeli forces tried to stop him from seeing the sign on the wall. And they rubbed it out, you know, the Palestinians.
The writing, can you see the writing on the wall?
That's right.
We're getting biblical now.
Well, they rubbed it out. The Palestinians, just before the Pope got there, wrote on the wall, and the Pope got out of the Popeville, went over and kissed the wall. I mean, it shocked Israel that the Pope would deviate from official tourism. The Pope's much more aware than these
it's
silly...
It's a community with which he's rather intimately associated.
That's right. Rather than these silly tourists on the Disney World tours who go, you know, and they fall in love with the rocks and the cave, but they don't fall in love with what we call the living stones.
Yeah.
You know, Catholic theology is about where's Jesus today? He locates himself in the oppressed people. Well, you got to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to see that the oppressed people today are the Palestinians who are living under occupation.
Those Americans, of course, have pictures of him in which he is blue-eyed and blonde and
apparently
from somewhere in Northern Europe.
You want to scream, you know. We shared a pensione, an Italian pensione with these people from Michigan, you know, and they're blind guides, to use a line right out of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. These priests that bring them to step on a stone or a hill that Jesus might have given the Beatitudes. You know, it's just outrageous.
But isn't there also, and this is certainly a North American phenomenon, which it seems to me we ought to be combating. It is what we call Christian Zionism.
Yes.
I'll never forget watching Netanyahu one night. I was looking at a Christian channel for some reason at 2 in the morning, because that's what I was doing. And suddenly I see him sitting there, and he's answering questions, and he said, the first thing I want to tell you is that you were the first, he said. You were Zionists before we were Zionists.
Oh,
you are the leaders.
Yeah.
And you can imagine how they lapped that up. This is a special, you know, American-based evangelicals.
Yeah. And they spend a lot of money.
They think that Jesus was born somewhere near Waco, Texas.
Oh, you exactly, know. You know.
So,
but the worst was the famous American writer George Will. Very conservative. Netanyahu gives him an interview. And he shows him a shard. Mr. Will, this is 4,000 years old, and look at the name on the shard, Netanyahu. Well, Will goes back and says, you know, Israel's links to this
Netanyahu
area.
to Netanyahu.
Yeah, look at this. Well, people pointed out that Netanyahu's grandfather came from Lithuania in 1921, and his name is Milikovsky. But you can BS some American journalist.
George Will's only expertise is American baseball, you know.
Oh, I know that, yeah. So you have this, but, you know, I was so moved by the wonderful Israelis I met, particularly a man called Amos Gewertz, who has spent – he grew up in a kibbutz, still lives there. We had two wonderful sessions with him, and he is defending the Bedouins. You know, who are Israeli citizens.
Is there some way we could help him? I mean, is there an international campaign for that?
Oh, there is.
By the way, if there's one group that everybody sort of appreciates, again, because of the associations with the Bible and the ancient times, is the Bedouins are still there.
They're still there, and we met them. And this particular village that we visited has been destroyed 77 times because it's an unrecognized village. That's what they say. You know,
if you look on a map, destroying a Bedouin's village is he's kind of used to building villages.
Yeah, but they generally stay in the same place. And we met the sheikh, the wonderful man, and he went crazy. He says, "We've been here for 500, 600, 700, 800 years. Where did Netanyahu come to this country?" And so here's Amos Gewertz, this wonderful man, this Jewish man, this Israeli citizen who is taking it upon himself to defend. And there are these people throughout Israel. Not enough, but enough to make it really difficult.
Well, they have more, and in Israel there are better spokesmen against the Zionist policies than you'll find in Canada.
Well, you don't find them here.
And we have parties. You know, people blame Mr. Harper, which he's rather open about his take on things. But where is our opposition?
Well, you made it the point. You made the point.
The last time I remember an argument was when Trudeau argued with Clark. Clark wanted to move the embassy to Jerusalem. And Trudeau said, don't do that.
The other parties have shown less than courage on raising the voice of the Palestinian people. It's a shock. And they don't want to get into it because the Jewish community is very, very powerful. They have a lot more money than the Palestinian community, and they're in very important places.
Well, historically, it's a long relationship here. The Palestinians are on the outside looking in, but the Canadians ought to be concerned about the fate of that region and the potential danger of involvement in bigger, like at the moment with Iraq-Syria. The Israel thing is always part of that.
Always part of it, and it can be so much more when you can release – the entrepreneurship of the Palestinian people is unparalleled, plus the intelligence. You go into Israeli hospitals and half the doctors are Palestinian. These are very bright people. Imagine putting that together in one state, what you could produce for world peace.
And organize a democracy?
Yeah, organize a democracy. You say it's a democracy, so but it really
go ahead
not.
And have one and see what happens.
Have one, and you could turn this place loose like nobody's business.
Well, we're talking to Ted Schmidt. It's a wonderful website, theologyinthevineyard.com, and of course has written many wonderful books, and most recently is a I always can never remember what's the title of your last
Never
book?
Neutral.
Never Neutral.
The Teaching Life.
That's been my experience with Ted Schmidt. We're very glad that you could join us, Ted. And
thank you,
this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And thanks, Phil. And we'll see you next week.